Not gonna date it. Somebody did. Talk about tool time. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to another show. I'm your host, Pete. I host the show. I do the show. I put the show online. I master the audio. I do the things. If you're listening to this show, this is a one-man show. And I don't mean a one-man show in that cheesy way of like, I'm going to do a one-man show about my life and people will love it. God damn it. I have this stupid fucking voice on my Waze app. It was Once Upon a Time Terry Crews, and that was great. Then Terry Crews' voice, I guess, was like not an option anymore. So it was replaced with Ichabod Crane, which I was like, well, who fucking cares about that? And then it was like, well, losing Terry Crews, that was a blow. That was a blow for me. It blew and it was a blow because it was like, I didn't understand why you would replace Terry Crews, who's a real guy, with Ichabod Crane, who's not a real guy. Like, that's not even a real guy. Ichabod Crane. What does Ichabod Crane sound like? Well, I'll tell you. It's pretty simple because it's like, Ichabod Crane sounds like everybody in an old movie, which is a... My old roommate pointed this out to me as the first person I heard say it. I've heard other people say it since, but like, basically, for some reason, if you are in a movie and it's old times, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're in. It doesn't matter, you know, what your role is or anything. You're just going to have an English accent. Because, like, I guess to people that's like, that signifies old. You know what I mean? Like, now I know that this guy's old. Which is like, I guess so, but I mean, that's all you got. That's the best you can do is be like, I know how to make this guy seem old. I will give him right, cheerio. And then it's like, all right, I guess so. I don't know. It's pretty weird, right? And it's like one of those conventions that we've just sort of fallen for. And then that's it. You know, we've never really had a moment in film where we're like, you know, like if this is supposed to be fucking, I'm watching a Conan movie right now. I feel like if I was watching a Conan movie and people were just talking modern style, I'd be like, this is kind of weird. But then on the other hand, I'd be like, I mean, this is an English accent is probably no closer to what Conan would say than, you know, modern speech. I mean, I can't imagine that an English accent version is, you know, way different than Conan in the movie being like, dude, radical. You know, that would seem really stupid, but at the same time, if he's saying, you know, if he's talking like Thor from the old comics, forsooth, whatever, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I buy that. But why? Why? I was talking about some movies, so it's, you know, September starting soon. Which means, starting soon after that, it's October. Which means it's Halloween time. The best time to watch your horror movies. And I have one, but maybe two Saw movies left in the series that I have not seen. It's funny because, like, alright, so the discussion I had about it was, you know, someone was like, I don't really like that stuff, it's just torture porn, which I'm like, now, see, this is what, that's the phrase people use when they hear the, you know, Saw movie thing. They're like, it's torture porn. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think I'm enjoying the torture and stuff like that. Also, like, I didn't find the torture in those movies to actually be as grotesque. Especially as the movies went on, like, there was gross stuff in them and gore. But not like a crazy amount. I mean, when you think about it, in a Saw movie, you know, it's like, I don't know, 7 or 8 people die in total. Like, that's really not a ton. That's not a huge body count for a modern horror movie. Number one. And number two, the ways they die usually are not that, I don't know, sometimes they're, like, outrageous, and then sometimes they're not. Like, it just kind of depends on the person. But it's pretty weird. So anyway, the torture porn thing, I'm just sort of like, nah, man, come on. You can do better than that. Like, people say that, but I just sort of feel like that's just a way to dismiss this and not watch it. Also, I don't feel like that's a term that's used by people who've seen any of them, and also, I don't feel like, you know, you could say the exact same thing about any horror movie and then justify it the same way. Also, I think that people don't know the difference between Saw and Hostel. And Hostel is like, well, here's the thing. It depicts the idea of torture porn, but I don't think it is in itself torture porn. I don't think you're like watching Hostel and being like, yes, this is what I wanted to see, is this girl get her, like, eye burned out with a blowtorch. That's fucking amazing, you know? It's like, well, the idea is the characters in it pay money to torture people, and that's pretty fucked up. But I don't think you watch that specifically to see, oh, what kind of weird torture is going to happen next, you know what I mean? Anyway. But, like, what is the appeal of the Saw movies? And the appeal of the Saw movies is, like, I don't know what the fuck is going on in these movies. I saw one of them probably, like, 4 or 5. Saw it in the theater. Went into the theater. We were a little late. And I thought we were, like, 45 minutes late to this movie because it was, like, so much had happened. And I was like, huh, I wonder, did they just not run any previews? Like, what happened? Because I think we did get there like 30 minutes after the start time. But I was like, I mean, by the time the trailers have gone, we've probably missed 10 minutes of this movie, right? Like, we probably haven't missed all that much. So we go in, and, like, I'm sitting there, and as I'm watching it, I'm kind of like, fuck. I think we missed, like, 45 minutes of this movie, because I do not know what's going on. But it turned out, I then watched it again, like, last year. I think last year or the year before, I got caught up on a bunch of these Saw movies and horror movies and stuff. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm just like, what is this? Like, and I missed maybe 5 minutes of this movie, but I was completely in the dark. And it wasn't even really because I'd missed 5 minutes. It was because somebody along the line decided that these Saw movies all need to, like, tie into each other. Like, they just need to sort of be the same thing. And it's really fucking weird, because it's like, I mean, what's in it for me to have the fourth movie and then they're like, oh, see, this is a seed we planted in the first movie. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You made the first movie, and then you made the second movie, and that one kind of worked too, because they didn't really, it was like the same killer, but they didn't have the killer, like, you know, I just ended up on the toll road completely by accident. This is bullshit. Like, they should tell you, like, hey, the toll road's coming. Heads up. God damn it. This is always how I end up on the toll road, too, is by accident. Once in a while on purpose, but mostly by accident. Anyway. The second movie has the same killer and stuff, and it's kind of the same basic premise. But then, what happens in that movie is, you know, at some point they're, like, escaping from this house where all the people are sort of trapped, and they pass through this room that was in the first movie. You know, they kind of pass by where the first movie took place. And it's just, it's really, like, this is the good kind of tying the movies together where it's like, I will just give them a little nod. You know what I mean? I guess there was also a repeat character too. But that, it worked. Like, it was part of the whole thing. It wasn't just like, let's do everything to tie it back. Then in the third one, the bad guy, Jigsaw, I think this is part three, is, so through the whole thing, he's basically been dying of cancer. And in this one, he's, like, bedridden. And he's got, like, an assistant helping him. And they kidnap this doctor who's, like, gonna perform a surgery on his brain so that she can take out, like, or I don't know, there's like a tumor putting pressure on his brain or something. There's something fucked up going on. So anyway, and then I think he dies. I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure he dies. But then he's like, then after that is when it gets real fucking crazy. Because he's basically orchestrating his work, his continued works from beyond the grave. And it was like, I mean, the amount of effort that goes into it and the sort of, you gotta buy into a lot of crazy shit to really go for it. I mean, you gotta be like, well, I guess this is happening. I guess I have to accept a lot. It's kind of like being in a relationship, these Saw movies, but it's like a relationship where you're like, you know, this person has a lot of qualities I like, but I gotta be honest, like, this is requiring a lot of me flexibility-wise and accepting a lot of the flaws here. And the flaws are pretty serious. It's not like, you know, she doesn't wash her towels as often as I'd like, and they get that kind of mildewy smell. It's not like that. It's like, she's totaled a car every 2 months since she's been 16. And, also, like, has a knockdown drag out with one of her parents, like, every other week. And, probably related to the totaling of the cars. She's got kind of a drinking problem. You know, like, you're just kind of going through them and you're like, oh, boy. This is, it starts to become, you're like, I think there's maybe more problems than good things here, but... So, yeah, then I think in the fourth and fifth... Now, I think there's 7 or 8 movies total. And then he's orchestrating things from beyond the grave, which is kind of interesting at first, but wears pretty thin pretty quickly. Like, I could do that once. Then there was kind of a prequel one, and it also got into, like, his wife doing some shit, and, like, sort of orchestrated by him, but sort of on her own accord, and it was really weird. That part was really weird, too, because it was like, I don't know, man. I didn't know what to think of it at that point, because I was like, why? Why? There's just a lot of why to be asked. There were a lot of whys to be asked and answered, and they were not answered in the course of these films. And just, I don't know, the amount of effort... This is the thing, too, is, like, it is fun to see these contraptions, but I don't know if I'd call it torture porn. It's kind of like, you know how you read about these medieval things, like, what was that thing, the Brazen Bull or something, where it's like a giant metal bull, and they would stuff somebody inside it and then basically light a fire underneath it so they would just get cooked inside this bull? Or, you know, the one, what was it? It was like, it's called, like, canoeing or boating or some shit. Where they, like, I don't know, they cover you in ants or some crap like that. I mean, just fucked up shit. Like, even when you think about, you know, the sort of basic one, like, the classic one that seemed to be depicted. This was, like, maybe an 80s or 90s thing, but it seemed like they were always depicting some guy buried up to his neck and then ants all over his face, you know, eating his face or something. Which is, like, that is fucked up, man. Even just burying someone until they're, like, up to their neck and then they're just sitting there. There was a Creepshow, maybe, with Leslie Nielsen, where he's, like, a creepy guy and he buries Ted Danson up to his neck on the beach. So when the tide comes in, it's like the waves, you know, he has to hold his breath and obviously he doesn't make it. It was kind of weird, though, because it was suggesting, you know... I mean, he shows video of himself doing this way more than once. And I was kind of like, wait a minute. What is he, like, these people get killed by the waves or whatever. Then what? Does he, like, go back and get the bodies? Like, it doesn't seem like he's going back for the bodies here. No one has found this out? I mean, no one's, like, looked into this and been like, hey, 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 hold on a minute. Anyway, that got me real off track. So I don't know. I don't know if the Saw movies are good. But I think the Saw movies are like Pete's Fast and Furious or something. Where it's just sort of like, at this point, you're so in. Also, I don't know what it is about Saw movies that they were like the only motherfuckers who figured out, you know when we should release our horror movie franchise? Why don't we release it around Halloween every year? So people can go to a horror movie on Halloween. Like, what a fucking concept. I don't understand. Like, I go to see A Quiet Place and, like, I don't know. I don't even know when that was. Spring? Like, why would I do that? Why wouldn't you do it in October? Someone needs to jump on that. And, like, I think also a weird sort of old man thing I like about Saw, too, is, like, Saw has these sort of engineering weird ways of killing people, you know, like that. They're more akin to that bull type of thing than anything that's, like, you know, current technology and internet and shit. And I'm, like, real over those movies that are like, you know, hey, oh my god, we unfriended you on Facebook and now there's the unfriending killer, or like, you know, I did it for the lulz or all that sort of thing. Like, I am so not into those. They're just not fun. It's just not interesting to me. It's like, what if someone was using Facebook to kill people? And it's like, okay, well, I mean, they kill my emotions already, so now it's just like, hey, while we're here, let's wipe out the body, too. We've killed the mind, now let's kill the body. I don't know. I think, like, technology of that kind is just not interesting to me in, like, movies and stuff. It just doesn't pull a lot of story weight for me. Like, there's no object that is of interest there. There's no thing to be discovered. It's just kind of boring. So fuck it. So I think that's part of the appeal of the Saw movies too, is they could have easily existed back in the day. There's actually a older horror movie called The Abominable Dr. Fibes that's like a precursor to Saw that you can see. Seesaw. I was talking to some people before about you know, things that people... Okay, so once in a while, right, like, the world gets involved in a craze. Like, a Beanie Baby craze, right? Where it's like, people are going to buy these and then, you know, send their kids to college by selling them off later. Or comic books went through this. There was this big comic books bubble that was like, oh my god, look at this. I'm going to buy this Spawn number one, or like the Death of Superman book in the white bag. And then it'll be worth, you know, millions later on. And then it wasn't. And I was trying to think, like, what... I don't think there is right now an equivalent of that, you know. I don't think we're going through one at this exact moment of, like, hey, what's the thing that, like, people are buying now and just sort of keeping and collecting, that's probably a mistake. You know what I mean? That's probably like, I don't know, guys. I don't know if this is really gonna... I'm not as confident as you are that this is going to, like, have a big payoff down the road, to be honest with you. I'm not so sure. That's kind of... I'm wondering, like... I wonder what the next thing will be, you know? Because it's got to be... Okay, there's, like, some rules here, right? Like, it's got to be something that is fairly inexpensive to start with, right? So it can't be, like... Because, obviously, if you had the money to buy, you know, like, I don't know, 60s and 70s muscle cars and restore them or something, it's like, well, yeah, that's always going to be worth something. Or, I don't know, if you just had the money to buy something that's of value and retains its value, like, that doesn't really count. It's got to be something that's pretty cheap. I mean, Beanie Babies were not expensive off the rack at the store. You know what I mean? I mean, they were expensive for what they were, but they were less than $10, right? So that's, like, one qualification. Another qualification is it really... It has to be essentially worthless. Like, it has to be something that if you look at it, like, if the apocalypse hits, or an apocalypse, or, like, a just a fairly reasonable depression slash economic downturn, whatever we're calling it right now, if one of those things hits, this thing is totally worthless. You know, so it can't be something that's actually has some value, or it can't even, I wouldn't even say gold, because it's like, gold is, I don't know. I feel like there's a, you know, you just hang on to gold, right? And then, provided it's not a complete apocalypse, in which case there's really nothing that you could have been collecting, unless you're like, I was collecting food staples, planning on the coming apocalypse. I mean, if you're living a life where you're like, I'm just going to sort of live my life planning on the coming apocalypse, then I guess that's fine, but I wouldn't suggest it. It doesn't seem like a good idea. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's fine, but it's sort of like, if you did that, aren't you living, you know, like these disaster preppers? I wonder, you know, I think they're always sort of in their head like, everyone else is going to be real fucking sorry when this apocalypse comes and they're not ready and I am. But I kind of feel like, isn't it like setting yourself up to live a shitty life when you're like, I'm going to set my life up such that if a complete apocalyptic event doesn't happen and everything is sort of as normal, I'm going to be sort of disappointed, like sort of low-key disappointed all the time. I mean, that would be kind of fucked up, right? It just doesn't seem like a good life to live where you're always sort of spoiling for that fight, where you're always spoiling for like, man, I hope this apocalypse just can't come soon enough for me. I don't know. That seems bad, right? Like, that seems like something you don't really want to get involved in on a big level. Anyway, I want to see what the next thing is, you know what I mean? And that's like, that's also, I think, one of the dreams of, like, getting rich is, like, you'll just make something stupid like that and then get rich off it. You know, or like, I think this is the dream of As Seen on TV. Like, you'll just invent something that's essentially exists or doesn't work. I mean, that's kind of the two things. The two versions of As Seen on TV, right, are already exists, pretty much. You know, like, they have this copper cookware thing, right? And you're like, I mean, I think that we have, like, this nonstick ceramic shit, which is the same thing, right? Like, it does the same thing. And that seems, like, good to me. I mean, I don't know. Do we need more of that? Do we need, like, a different version? But I guess we do. But, you know, I know there's fucking money in that shit. And you know how I know that? Is because they have an As Seen on TV aisle in Target. Which I would think Target would be, like, a little too good for that. You know what I mean? Like, they would turn their noses up at the As Seen on TV business. But then at the same time, you know, I know that whoever decides what goes in Target, because they're like, okay, let's see. Let's have the, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines stuff. That's classy. That's fun. Let's do this, you know, we'll have these designers come in and make new college shit every year that's actually pretty fun and, you know, with the times and so on. Let's do, you know, fashion. We'll be doing a, you know, pretty decent on that shit. We're pretty much with the times. Like, you can't buy non-skinny pants as a dude there. And then, but god damn it, this As Seen on TV, I think at first they'd be like, no fucking way. But then they'd be like, we actually make kind of a lot of money off this As Seen on TV shit. They're like, all right, let's just do the one aisle. We'll call it a day. It's like, even Target shoppers are not immune to the pull of As Seen on TV. The pull of cookware made out of copper for some reason. Oh, I never thought of cooking in copper. Wish I'd lined my stove with a bunch of pennies. Just a flat sheet. bunch of copper. I had this idea, though. I had a good business idea for As Seen on TV and also NASA. Because, like, NASA can't... My understanding is NASA can't basically generate money through patents or anything because they can't patent things because they're, like, a government entity. So that would be kind of like if I made something at work and then charged my employer to use the thing I made, right? I mean, it'd be kind of the same concept. And so, like, I guess they can't do that because if they patented something, then... Then, like, you know, the taxpayer would have to pay for this product but that they already paid for. This is my understanding of it. This may not be actually accurate. But my thought was, here's what we need. We need, as seen on TV and these pitchmen and whoever invents the as seen on TV shit, we need them to join up with NASA. And it's like, okay, we're going to come up with the ideas and then you actually make it work. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to come up with the idea of super nonstick cookware. Like, that, you know, you can spray paint the inside of this pan, put it on the stove, puke in the pan, slash it with a knife, do all this stuff, and it just, like, slides right off. Don't even have to wash it. It's like, and, you know, this is the part of the commercial where the guy is throwing his washing sponge in the garbage. And, you know, he's throwing his vacuum out because whatever, why not? You know, that's another one. It's like, hey, NASA, can you make a fucking vacuum that's not like $400 that works pretty good? Can you make a Roomba that's like smaller and has an easier time navigating and also has a... It's smaller unit, but somehow has a larger canister or something? I mean... It took us so long to get away from vacuums that have a goddamn bag that you have to, like, throw out, which is crazy. It's like someone had an in at from the popcorn factory, and they were like, well, let's take these popcorn bags, we'll put this, like, opening on them, and then we'll charge people for the bags. Like, you buy a vacuum, and that's like, oh, not good enough, you just have to buy the bag. And then finally somebody figured out, they were like, what if we just made, instead of the bag... It just had this, like, canister, which is basically what it has already. And then you could just pull that off and dump it out. And it's like, huh. I'd never thought of that, you know. Okay. But how are we going to charge people for the bags? And it's like, let me introduce you to a product called Swiffer. That'll do it. You just charge people for pads. So anyway, I just think that, like, NASA and As Seen on TV should team up, because I think NASA, I'd like for them to be, you know, using their brains to invent some things that are helpful to us, especially if they're, and, you know, and then maybe this way they could get some kickback from the other company, right? They're like, well, we'll do the development of these ideas on, like, a, you know, a contract basis. So we're not getting paid by the taxpayer, but we are getting paid, you know, as contractors by the, as seen on TV, as the guy who sprays Flex Seal and makes a boat out of a screen door or whatever. Like, that's okay. That's the thing, right? Is like, I don't really know if it's a super useful product, but if someone's like, okay, I have an idea for a product. Basically, it's a spray that's like rubber, and it makes a rubber seal, and it's so good that I can make a screen bottom fan boat, cover it in this Flex Seal, wait a couple hours, and then I'm like cruising down the Everglades at 100 miles an hour, and it's that good. And, you know, I'm not taking on any water, or, you know, I can I'm trying to even remember what he did. Or, you know, okay, like the crazy glue, and it's like, okay, this guy is wearing a helmet. He glued his helmet to the ceiling, and now he's hanging from his helmet in the ceiling. And it's like, all right, that is a pretty crazy glue. I will give you that. Like, it doesn't even follow the rules of science, because this guy's dangling from his hat. And I'm like, well, is his hat glued to his head as well? I missed that part. And it doesn't just tear the skin off his head. But I mean, even if it did, if the guy fell to the ground and his entire scalp was still in the hat and it was still stuck to the ceiling, I'd be like, I mean, it sucks for that guy, and this was not a very thoughtful test, but that glue fucking works, man. That shit really works. I don't know. I don't know if that's a realistic plan for those two worlds to collide, but I'd like it to happen. I'd like to see that. I think that would be a win for everyone involved, and especially a win for the consumer. It's like, finally, I have a glue that can glue a man to a ceiling. That's all I've really wanted. It's all I've ever needed, really. So I've been reading, you know, Spider-Man comics. I mean, this has been ongoing for forever, right? Where I'm going to read all the way through Amazing Spider-Man, and there's, you know, something approaching 800 issues at this point. And so I was like, well, all right. So I've read in the recent past, you know, issues, I don't know, probably somewhere in the 500s through 700 for the most part. And then, you know, but I'd have to start at the beginning. So I started at the beginning. And it's taking longer than I thought because, like, for one thing, these older comics, they got a lot of fucking dialogue in them, like a lot of words. I was going to just say they got a lot of words in them, and that sounded stupid to me, but that's actually the case, is like the words per page was much higher. But I just read, I think it's like issue 159 or 160, and it was so super crazy. And this is why I think the comics will always be better than the movies. Okay, like, let's look at the plot of a highly successful comic book movie. Like, Avengers Age of Ultron, right? And it's like, okay, you've got this robot. This was, like, a really stupid story, by the way. Like, everyone was sort of complaining about Ultron because they're like, oh, he was jokey and whatever. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I think that sucked. But I think the whole premise of the movie was really stupid. And the arc of it was so boring because, like, they did the whole thing, right, where it's, okay, we'll have the Avengers come out swinging, they have a fight, then they have a second fight where they're fighting the real bad guys and they get their asses kicked, and this causes them for no real reason to sort of, like, you know, be mad at each other, and they go to Hawkeye's house and hang out for a while, and, like, you know, Captain America is, like, mad at Iron Man for some reason, and, like, Thor is just like, I'm just gonna leave for a while. And you're like, okay. And nobody is like, hey, listen, we're all superpowered individuals or, you know, have super suits and all this shit. We defeated, like, a fucking crazy alien invasion. I think maybe we can work out this robot and, like, two people who also have superpowers, but it's, like, super speed and magic witch power. It's like, I don't know, man. I think that, you know, some third-tier Marvel characters plus, you know, Ultron, and it's like, I feel like we should be able to beat this guy. You know, we had a bad outing. Once in a while, if it was me, if I was Hawkeye, I'd be like, let me give you some advice that I learned from playing recreational volleyball at a very low level. Sometimes you just get beaten by a team that you should have beaten. And the whole time it's happening, you're like, This team's not playing well. We're really not playing that badly, but for some reason, we are just not putting it together today. That's what happened with us in Ultron. I think that we should just get back in there, beat the shit out of him, and not really worry about it so much. And then also, I mean, it's got this problem where it's like, you set up this guy, so it's like, well, what the problem with Ultron is basically he's the internet. So, you know, his consciousness is in this body and he's talking to us, but he's not, this is not the totality of his presence. And we can never really eliminate him from the world, right? Because he's always around, sort of.
But then they just sort of figure out a way to be like,
well, what if this happened and, you know, the thing that made him invincible isn't true anymore? And it's like, okay, well, I mean, yeah, I guess you could. That's one way to beat him. What if we could just beat him by completely changing the rules that we made up for ourselves? Oh, okay. Well, that sounds fine. What if, you know, it's like, this is an enemy we cannot defeat just by punching him. And it's like, well, what if we change the rules so that the way we could beat him was by punching him? It's like, okay. Anyway. The other thing, though, is I think the problem with the Ultron character wasn't James Spader. I think the problem with that character is that it's like, it's built on this, like, robotic premise from sci-fi, which is, like, Terminator is like this, right? Lots of shows or movies are like this, where it's, okay, robots become, you know, super sentient and cool and whatever, and then they're like, well, humans are inefficient and therefore should all die. The most efficient way for the world to run is for humans to all die. And it's sort of like, okay, I see where you're coming from like a robotic standpoint, that's probably true. Like, humans are not efficient. But it's like robots develop to this intellectual level where they know a lot more than us, but they're also stupid. Because they don't understand that, like, you know, there are some things... And no one sits down Ultron and is like, I'm gonna lay an idea on you. And I want you to use your robo brain to think about this idea. Think it through. Think it through, and we'll talk about it, you know, in 10 minutes, because I guess that's as long as it should take you to think through something, right? All right, I'm going to lay this premise down. There are things in the world for which efficiency is not the best way to do it. In other words, this is a lesson I learned from a little show called The Adventures of Pete and Pete on Nickelodeon. And there was this character who was like an inspector at a factory, right? And he was an inspector of things, and he did everything perfectly. He was perfectly tidy. He did everything. And little Pete on the show wanted to follow in his footsteps. So he was like learning to be like him and whatever. But the end sort of lesson of the show is like, so his final test to become an inspector, little Pete's final test, is like, you have to eat this barbecued chicken breast or chicken wings or something, a barbecue chicken dinner. And but you have to do it completely neat. So, you know, you can't get any sauce spilled anywhere on your face, anything like that. And so the inspector does it, and he does it perfectly. You know what I mean? The bones are stacked perfectly. They're completely cleaned off. He hasn't touched the chicken at all with his fingers. He uses a knife and fork. And, you know, there's nothing out of place on his plate, right? And then little Pete, when it's his turn, just basically digs into this chicken wing. And he's like, this is what you don't get, Inspector 37? 47? This is what you don't get, Inspector. Barbecue is meant to be eaten this way. Like, doing it the neatest, tidiest way kind of goes against the whole idea of eating barbecue. And the inspector has to be like, I hadn't considered that. You know what I mean? This plucky lad has taught me a lesson about life. And so this is the thing that I would tell Ultron. Like, I'd be like, watch that in super fast motion. Because, you know, that's what it is. And then let's apply that same thinking and think about, does that same kind of thinking maybe apply to life? You know, for example, the most efficient way to tell my mom happy birthday would have been to send her a text that said happy birthday. And perhaps if I wanted to give her a gift, the most efficient gift would be I could just straight up transfer some cash from my bank account into hers, right? I mean, that is very efficient and would be horrible. Like, that's not going to make her happy, right? And I'm not going to feel good about that either. Like, it doesn't work. So there are things in life that are not about efficiency. And there are things in life that, you know, the sort of messiness of them is the whole point, right? So someone just needs to sit Ultron down and have this discussion with him and be like, can you see that there are things in which messiness and the sort of nature of human, I keep using the word messiness, but like human messiness is just an essential component of this part of life, right? And I feel like if he's as smart as he's supposed to be, he would be like, you know, I hadn't really considered that. But now that you've brought it to my attention, I can see what you're talking about. You know, the imperfections of something sometimes are what make it work. You listen to an album or something and it's like, oh, there's this weird vocal tick right here. This is like where the person's voice was giving out or something. And it's like, you know, actually, I think that works. I think that John Lennon blowing his voice out singing Twist and Shout works better than if he had sung it, you know, perfectly and, I don't know, not the way it was, right? Anyway, and that's the thing, though, is I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, this is the whole thing is like, the movie's premise is very flawed because it's like a super smart robot is super smart, but then at some point just stops getting smarter or stops learning things and is just like, okay, I got it now, and so kill all humans. Makes sense. That's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, other sci-fi things kind of do this, but it's like the machine does this out of self-preservation, right? Because humans are going to shut it down because they're like, well, this is obviously too dangerous. Which is kind of funny, too, because I think we're supposed to be like, oh, those idiot scientists, you can't just kill this artificial life form. But, you know, they kind of have a point when they're like, oh, this artificial life is too dangerous to exist. And then they're like, we went to shut it down and it killed all humans. And you're like, well, it turns out they were right. I mean, they were a little late. Maybe if they'd come up with this idea, you know, a couple months earlier, we wouldn't have this whole Skynet exploding nuclear bombs, or this whole Matrix situation might have turned out a little differently. But whatever. I always thought the Matrix, too, it was like, okay, so the premise of using a human being as a battery is kind of dumb. But whatever. I mean, I'll buy it. But the other thing is, I was like, you know, I always thought maybe it's like this is a machine, but it's an intelligent machine, and maybe it gets bored, you know what I mean? Like, wouldn't it be boring if everything was just kind of set, and it was like, okay, we've killed all humans, and so now there's nothing, you know, nothing to worry about. Like, I just think the machine would be bored, and would therefore be like, oh, maybe I'll let some of these guys run around and blow up some shit. I don't know. And I'll send some things in to kill them, and they'll be sort of easily destroyed as well. This is going to be fun. This is a good time. So the comic book I read. So let's talk about, okay, so this is the premise of this movie. It's this super serious movie. But the thing is, it only really works if you don't think about it too much, right? Is kind of my whole thing here. Now, let's talk about a comic book I read. In Amazing Spider-Man, at one point, Aunt May inherits a nuclear power plant from, you know, somebody, a deceased relative. A dead relative is like, I'm going to bequeath my holdings, which is a nuclear power plant, to this old woman who lives in Queens. And it's like, okay, fair enough. So Dr. Octopus gets romantically involved with Aunt May. You know, I think partially, and not entirely, but partially to, you know, get his hands on a nuclear power plant, which is like, well, I don't know exactly what he's going to do with it, but I mean, yeah, that seems like a pretty solid villain move, right? If I'm a super villain, it's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know, a nuclear power plant? Like, also seems like something where I can definitely say, you know, if I was Spider-Man and it's like Dr. Octopus is trying to get his hands on a nuclear power plant, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, that seems like an evil plot and seems like something that I should be trying to stop from happening, right? Like, that's something that I feel very comfortable saying, well, this is probably not for the best if he ends up with this nuclear power plant. Okay, so he gets, you know, he kind of gets his hands on this plant, but then this other villain, Hammerhead, gets involved. Now, I'm confident that everyone knows Dr. Octopus. Funny part, too, he was, like, in jail for a while, and he comes out, and he actually looked pretty ripped. You know, he's usually kind of a rotund guy with a bowl cut. He still had the bowl cut and the dumb glasses, but he was, like, he looked pretty in shape, and I was, like, I don't know if whoever was drawing this issue did not pay attention to the character models or what, but, and you know, I don't know, Spider-Man or somebody was still calling him Tubby, or something. I think Hammerhead called him Tubby. And I was just like, hey. Like, now, let's put aside, you know, the whatever. Because, I don't know, I guess part of me is like, I think I'm fine with a fictional supervillain who's trying to steal a nuclear power plant being called Tubby. I think I'm fine with that. But I was like, this dude ain't Tubby. Like, what are you doing? But on the other hand, I was like, well, maybe Hammerhead knows what he's doing. Maybe he's like, you know, I'm going to call this guy Tubby because I know Dr. Octopus inside is always going to be that little fat kid. He's always going to be a little fat nerd, and he's always going to think he's Tubby even when he's not. He's probably got, like, such bad body dysmorphia at this point. So I'm just going to hit him where it hurts. So Hammerhead gets involved. Now, Hammerhead is basically a mobster with a super hard skull. I don't know if it's metal or something, but, you know, he basically could just, like, headbutt people or slam his head into shit and it's, you know, invincible. So he kind of tries to wrest control of this power plant from Dr. Octopus, and he charges at him with his head down and smashes his head into a wall of the plant. Now, I don't know exactly how a nuclear power plant works, but I'll say I was pretty sure that, you know, you couldn't just, like, run into something head first, even if you had an, you know, adamantium head or something, and punch a hole in it and basically destroy the nuclear power plant. But that is exactly what happens. His head gets stuck. He's like fucking Winnie Pooh in the hole, you know, but it's his head. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, you fool, you've caused a meltdown. You know, and so everyone else, like, abandons the island where the power plant is and escapes, and Hammerhead is stuck there, causes, like, an atomic blast. And then he turns into a ghost who's, like, haunting the shit out of Dr. Octopus. And at some point, Dr. Octopus, you know, gets so fed up with it, he makes some kind of gizmo that's supposed to, like, irradiate the ghost and kill the ghost. And so he sets up this gizmo and gets the ghost to go inside of it and blasts him. And then it turns out that this was the Hammerhead ghost's plan all along, because somehow he knew that this machine would actually, like, give him a body again or something. I mean, this is the thing. It's a crazy story. Like, it's a super crazy story. And, you know, meanwhile, it's like Aunt May's life is hanging in the balance. She's somehow caught up in all this. And, like, Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus team up briefly to get Aunt May back from Hammerhead. Because once he's post-ghost, he's, like, more powerful than ever for whatever reason, right? Anyway, the whole thing is fucking nuts. And this is what I liked about it, though. Is I was like, you know, I like that, like, you can be reading a Spider-Man comic and you just pick it up and you don't know what's going to happen. And then some shit happens. I mean, no one can accuse this comic of being slow or predictable. Because I did not predict that when Dr. Octopus was released from prison, he'd go back to his nuclear power plant and a fellow criminal, Hammerhead, would smash his head into a wall and cause an atomic blast, turning him into a ghost. Like, that is not something. If I had to come up with a story, like a crazy story, they're like, okay, invent a crazy Spider-Man story and go. I don't think I could do something that good. And then there it was, though. It was a real thing that happened in these comics, right? And it's just so much more interesting to me than the movie where it's like, all right, there's a big bad guy. He's got a bunch of minions. Let's make them robots, because then it's fine to decapitate them and have the Hulk punch holes through them, right? And then, you know, he'll basically be unbeatable because he's the internet, and then we'll just kind of make him beatable. But, you know, it's not like they made him beatable by, if this had been a 70s or an 80s comic, they would have, like, fighting Ultron and the Incredible Hulk, like, smashes an operating microwave full of popcorn over his head, and it's like, oh, the microwaves have disrupted his transmitter, and wow, you know what I mean? Like, some crazy shit like that would have to happen. But, you know, this doesn't work that way, of course, because it's not as cool. They're just not as cool, you guys. And that's the problem. That's why I like the comics. All right. I've reached my destination. I've been yelling about.
comics and comic book movies. What a weird thing for a guy like me, huh?
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show.
And we'll see you next time.